Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome in hour number 3 of the Rob Brown Show. Goes right now. It is the Fan Ops Day. I am Rob Brown. Directly across from me on the other side of the metaphorical glass, the man in charge of this and every radio program you've ever enjoyed, and half of the ones you haven't, the legendary, great one, Lonzo, is here as well. But now, ladies and gentlemen, as we do every Thursday at 8 a.m., we take a brief little trip right on down the road on Interstate, whichever one it is that you got to go to get to Columbia. 385? Nope, that's north south.
385 turns to 26.
That's the one. That's what I was going to say.
So you're kind of right. They merge and become one.
You go southeast-ish for some amount of time over to Columbia, South Carolina, and we welcome in a lovely young lady who reports on the Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. The lovely Lulu Kesson joins us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Good morning, young lady. How do you do?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm exceptional. Thanks. How's the new year treating you so far? We are 9 days in. Have you reached all your resolutions yet?
Yeah, you know, just checking off every box minute by minute. Couldn't be better. No. Things are going well. I can't believe that last week on the show I admitted I watched Curious George. That still haunts me a little bit. But besides that, I'm very good.
And so it's Lulu Kesson, I promise. The things that Lonzo and I have admitted to on the show are way worse than that. You're fine. You're good. I will say this. I didn't know this. I learned this morning, Lulu. The second Friday of the new year, which is tomorrow, January 10th, is known as Loser's Day. Because it is the day that most people acknowledge is the first day that they, you know, they stop dry January, or they stop the I'm going to eat healthier, or the I'm going to work out resolutions. Tomorrow is Loser's Day. What's the resolution you made for New Year that's going to be hardest to keep for you?
That's a good question.
Are you a resolutions person? Let's start with that.
See, I'm not. I try, this is going to come across probably sounding very cheesy, but like I really try to work under the mentality like it's never too late to set a goal and you don't ever need like a certain time. So like I've definitely had New Year's resolutions, quote unquote, start in like July, like, or resolutions, I guess, just start like randomly. So I was trying, you know, with the holidays and being home and then covering the bowl game, like New Year's Eve really snuck up on me this year. So I kind of didn't have a ton of time. I honestly don't really think I set one. There's definitely things in my life I need to be more consistent with and work on, but probably just like waking up more regular at the same time. Like I don't sleep in, but I still don't wake up at the same time every day. So maybe that. I'll say that.
See, I've got one for all of us, to be a better person this year than I was last year. I mean, we can all say that.
Yeah, but that's so abstract, though. That's so abstract. Yeah, you gotta set a goal. That's not a goal.
If you're a really bad person.
I mean, I guess it is if you suck.
Yeah.
But like, none of us suck.
Right,
so.
True.
There's that. Lulu Kesson for the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. You can follow her across the social media, specifically on the X at Lulu Kesson, K-E-S L-U-L-U-I-N. Let's dive right in, Lulu. And the big news right now, Shane Beamer named one of the 8 finalists for the 2024 Paul Bear Bryant Coach of the Year Award, which I think is well-deserved. I think this is a year, Lulu Kesson, that if it's grown upon, it feels to me, and obviously, you know, I think a lot of us are looking for the optimistic stance. We're looking for that silver lining always. Did this kind of feel like a year that was a turning point for Shane? This kind of felt like a year that you go, okay, maybe this is a milestone year. Maybe this is a year that Gamecock fans look at 2, 3, 4 years down the road. If they compete for an SEC title game, they go, 2024 was the year we kind of found the magic a little bit. I think this is well-earned for Shane Beamer.
Totally. I think it's fair to say his seat definitely got cold after this year as well. I mean, some people kind of thought, like, all right, after. My whole perspective on this year was, can Shane prove that last year wasn't going to happen again? That last year was just a random outlier year because he had a pretty decent rookie year as a coach. Obviously, 2022 until this year was his best year. And then he drops just a goose egg with a 5-7 season last year. So I do think that this season was a turning point in the program where Shane was able to say, last year was a fluke. That's not going to happen again. That's not going to be the way that we play. That's not going to be the amount of games that we win. Here's our standard, and we're going to continue to meet it or try to exceed it year after year.
I think that, and obviously, it is a combination of setting the culture, demanding that the people within the program adhere to the culture, but also finding that talent. And Lulu Kesson, I pointed out for many years that when it comes to recruiting, it's just like money, right? The rich get richer. The best way to become a billionaire is to start off as a millionaire. The fact that Shane found some of that talent, homegrown talent, guys that he recruited, guys that he brought in, guys that he got in from the portal, the fact that he was able to do that and succeed with it, I think the ramifications of that are you're going to start seeing more and better recruits and transfer portal guys start to show up. That's how you begin the trend upward for a college football program.
Right. And the transfer portal in 2025 is even going to be so different than the transfer portal in 2023, 2024. College football and the entire landscape is changing so rapidly, and Shane needs to kind of prove that with every twist and turn, like, he's not phased. And I know that kind of sounds like weird in general, but like some of his, his fellow coaches that have been doing this for so long, or people that are just less willing to cooperate, I guess it's a clear lack of understanding that things in, the 2025 season are going to be different than they were this year or last year. So be it. Shane's recruiting the right people to kind of to go through the twists and turns. But obviously with a lot of what's going on with the financial aspect of college football, like Shane's recruiting methods are everything's different. And I think what was most impressive to me this season was his ability to kind of stay with it and adjust and find people that worked. Because I can't look, I don't think people were fighting over Demetrius Knight in the transfer portal because they didn't know what he could bring. But Shane clearly saw something that he knew exactly what he was doing, and it paid off. Things like that, players like that, which I think speak volumes for Shane's ability to recruit.
Lulu Kesson of Greenville News joins every Monday at 8 a.m. to talk about the Gamecocks here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Season's been over since the bowl game a couple of weeks ago now, because time flies at this point, Lulu Kesson. As far as the mentality, the attitude, kind of where in the off-season program are the Gamecocks? Is Shane Beamer right now? I mean, obviously, recruiting never sleeps. Working that portal never sleeps. We saw Aaron Nolan come down from Ohio State. I'm assuming there's going to be some other guys that are making moves, et cetera. But kind of what's the attitude? What's the mentality? Where is the program right now, now that the season has been put to bed?
Well, to answer your question, like, physically, like, the students just moved back from break, which means that all the new recruits that graduated high school early have moved onto campus and will begin training with South Carolina. So it's not the first year that they do this, obviously, last year, I know that Mazio Bennett and like David Busey, they were there in January. But yesterday I saw a post of all the new players moving in. So I think that despite how the season ended and despite the pretty large amount of people who have already declared for the NFL draft, like, I think, I don't want to say who's left because there are a lot of people, but who is left of the 2024 team seem very eager and excited to kind of continue working. And yeah, they took a physical break, obviously, maybe in the last like 2 weeks or so, but it from the vibe of people like Jalen Kilgore and Lenoris, like the hard work didn't stop. And they're very, very eager to kind of continue on the up from what they did in 2024.
Lulu Kesson joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Talking a little Gamecock football. We'll flip it over to the women's basketball team here in just a moment from right now. As far as the defense next year, we just had a commenter on our live stream, Lulu, say the Gamecock defense is elite, but we lose four to the draft. What can you tell us about names that are gone, that are coming back, that are sticking around, that you think, and I know we're obviously way early, we're not even kind of close to spring yet, but what are your thoughts on what that Gamecock defense that down the stretch did hold its own against teams like Alabama, etc., what do you think this defense shapes up to be like next year?
Well, I think that there's no denying the fact that the defense is losing some of its most important pieces. So, like, obviously, Kyle Kennard, he's gone. That said, I think Kyle Kennard might be the easiest position to fill because I think Brian Thomas Jr., who played in the bowl game and who will be a senior next year and who's very experienced, will fill into that slot, like, very easily. Then there's people like Demetrius Knight, Debo Williams, you know, linebackers that are a little bit tricky to point your finger to and say, oh, blah, 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 we'll replace. But at the same time, they've spoken very highly of, like, Fred J.R. Johnson. Then there's players, you know, like Boogie Huntley. How do you replace someone like him who's quite literally been the heart and soul of the D-line for almost 6 years now? And then who else? I'm trying to think off the top of my head who else has declared. But then you're returning players, you know, like obviously Dylan Stewart, who's only going to be, what, a sophomore next year. So there's fundamental pieces of the defense that are leaving. But, like, they got, I think from Florida State, like Sean Murphy. He was a four-star recruit out of high school. He's a linebacker coming in. Nick Sharp, right. He's an offensive lineman. Who's the D lineman that they just, I'm like checking my notes. But anyways, they're losing people on defense, but that said, I'm more confident in who they have as underclassmen on defense to replace some of the key players rather than on offense. I'd argue that the people that they're losing, they might need to go into the portal to get.
Lulu Kesson joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Lulu, obviously we've got to talk about a bit of an issue with the women's basketball team, and that is the fact that one of the leaders of this team has gone down with an injury. That is something that's going to have to be dealt with. You're going to have to work around the loss of Ashlyn. Talk to me a little bit about what this team shapes up to work around the loss of one of the leaders who was a part of what that was done last year and somebody who has been a dedicated point scorer and, I think, underappreciated as a rebounder this year.
Mm-hmm. Huge loss for South Carolina. As Dawn Saley said yesterday, only time will tell. I think not having Ashlyn is different from not having a couple other players. That said, the only way that Dawn's fully going to know the impact, I think, is tonight against Texas A&M and especially Sunday against Texas. Ashlyn's, you know, her numbers speak for itself. She's an incredibly talented and, you know, instrumental part of the team, especially on defense. She brings just a different level of athleticism and skill and kind of game IQ. You know, it's sort of a blessing that she doesn't start in the sense that South Carolina still has obviously two very capable forwards technically ahead of her. And then Joyce Edwards, I see Joyce Edwards' minutes just increasing with this. You know, a lot of people were kind of in panic mode when the news came out, and a lot of people were focusing, you know, myself included in my writing. Of course, I talked about Sakima Walker and Adele Tack and Marion Dauda, but right now, to me, my impression is just that until Sakima and Adele are 100% healthy and Miriam's confident, you know, Staley's words, not necessarily mine, but I think that it's just going to be Chloe, Kitts, and Sanaya Fagan play a little bit more as starters, and then it's just going to be one sub, Joyce Edwards, off the bench rotating in for them. And I see that those three getting a minutes increase, so that's why I don't, that's why I'm not in panic mode yet. Definitely not ready to write off this team, as I know some people are. And I think that it's important to remember South Carolina is still the number one team in the sense that Dawn Staley isn't going to recruit a player that she doesn't think can play with the best of the best. So I trust that anyone on her roster will step up in Ashlyn's absence whenever that time may come for them. But I think for the immediate future, it's just kind of going to be an increase of minutes for Joyce Edwards off the bench.
It is obviously going to be an interesting adaptation, especially considering, Lulu Kesson, you're about to hit a very interesting part of the season. You've got one more unranked that's coming up tonight when the Aggies come to the crib, but then you start a game of, or a run of five consecutive top 18 teams. You've got number five Texas coming to the house, then you're on the road at Alabama, back home for Oklahoma and LSU, number 10 and 6 respectively, and then you got to go out to Tennessee, number 16 in the country. I mean, I guess the good news, if there is any here, is that you've got at least a little bit of a tune-up to figure out what this team's going to have to do without Ashlyn Watkins, but then we get into the meat and potatoes of the SEC season where it's really going to start to pick up a little bit.
Yeah, I can't get over that kind of four-game stretch. Going from Alabama to Oklahoma to LSU to Tennessee, like, that's a lot of incredibly talented basketball, and it doesn't necessarily stop. I mean, they end the season with Kentucky, and obviously Kentucky's red hot right now. Like, the SEC is good this season, and I think, as Dawn Staley said yesterday, like, having these incredibly talented SEC teams, she thinks, is a really great measuring stick, and it's a way that South Carolina is kind of able to measure itself against some of the best in the best and national championship, you know, potential caliber, potential teams. So I'm curious to see how South Carolina weathers the storm, especially without Ashlyn.
Lou Kesson covers the Greenville News. Covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News. You can follow her on X at Lulu Kesson, K-E-S-I-N. Joins us every Monday at 8 a.m. Nope, Thursday. I'm going to get through this, Lulu Kesson. My New Year's resolution is to like relax, calm down a little bit, and I'm very clearly failing.
That's funny. I also forgot to mention, I saw on Twitter, do you watch Shrinking, Rob?
Do I watch what?
Do you watch Shrinking with Harrison
Ford? I'm in love. I'm in love. Harrison Ford might be the funniest individual on television right now. I adore that show.
Okay, good. I saw that you tweeted about him. And don't get me wrong, I know that Harrison Ford has a ton of things besides Shrinking, but yeah, I won't spoil. I mean, what season are you on?
I am still grinding through season one. We finished episode 6 last night. And like I said, this is my favorite Harrison Ford role since he wore a leather jacket and flew the Millennium Falcon.
Honestly, my boyfriend might have the same opinion there. It's so good. And I'm jealous that you get to watch it like season one and season two, because I watched it like 2023 and then had to wait until October for the second season. So enjoy the fact that you can just cruise through it, but it's one of my favorite shows. It's absolutely genius, in my opinion.
See, Lulu Kesson not only has great taste because she's willing to come on the Rob Brown Show weekly, but great taste in entertainment too. The best. Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upset every Thursday at 8 a.m. Young lady, we appreciate it as always. Tell your mom I said hi. We'll talk to you next week.
I will. Have a good day. See you
You're
guys
the best.
Next week.
Lulu Kesson here on the show. When we come back here in just a minute, we'll talk a little Ash Hutball League because it is Wild Card Weekend. Then Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joins us in about 20 minutes. Hayton asked Mario at 9 o'clock, fight club with Lonzo at 9:20. Then we ask what the X is going on and call it a day on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What in the... I don't know what you...
I'm just getting you back for that horrible audio that you keep playing over and over again and haven't played today, and now I doomed myself to hear it again. No, not that, but that's fine.
Which one?
I like them all. The weird thing that you slowed down.
Oh, my boomer clip.
People are probably running off the road when you play that. It's just so,
If you don't know where that came from, Chris Berman was really, really, really excited about the pick of Matthew Judon that he took back for six in the Falcons game a couple of weeks ago. So he went, like during the replay. So then I just slowed it down and it turned into this, and it's just
What possessed you to want to do that, though? That's the weird thing. I mean, what made you go, you know what? I wonder what that sounds like slowed down.
I don't know. I can't explain it. It just happened. I heard it. I went, I bet that's really funny if you slow it way down. Turns out I was very correct. It is objectively hilarious.
Funny is not the word.
Let's take a look at our NFL Super Wild Card Weekend upcoming, ladies and gentlemen. We have got our first round of the NFL playoffs starting this weekend. Somehow it's the playoffs already. It feels like we just kicked off the season yesterday. But let's take a look at our Wild Card Weekend as it is scheduled. Lonzo, we kick everything off this Saturday with the AFC side of the bracket. The Chargers are on the road at the Texans Saturday at 4:30 p.m. The Texans are the, according to Vegas odds, least respected team in the National Football League playoffs. They are one of the biggest dogs to win the Super Bowl, not necessarily in game one. But I got to tell you, this feels like a game that Jim Harbaugh just plays bully ball with the Chargers, right? Like, we have seen a couple of spots. And I do want to point out, everybody say, oh, it's a sophomore slump for CJ Stroud. I mean, technically, that is correct. The numbers aren't what they were last year. But I would also point out that if you go look at rookie passing efficiency in year one, CJ Stroud had one of the most impressive rookie passing efficiency ratings of all time. You throw in some injuries, you throw in the changes that took place this year, and what I think you'll notice is that CJ Stroud's second year is pretty standard rookie second year for most players. Like once teams have kind of figured out where to apply pressure to you in order to get you off your game, CJ Stroud has, I will absolutely say, regressed, but I will say regressed to the mean. He's not like falling off where it's like, oh, maybe he's not who we thought. He's regressed to the mean. He is in a class with most other rookie quarterbacks who are successful in year number two. And I do think you have to point out, it is year number two of the new administration. It is year number two of the DeMeco Ryans era. It is year number two of these Texans as constructed. I would also point out that, again, we've mentioned this Texans wide receiver core has been banged up quite a bit throughout the season. So much as we have talked about with some of the other quarterbacks, CJ Stroud has had very few games since week five or six where he's had his entire wide receiver core. But at the end of the day, the numbers are what the numbers are. The production is what the production is. And the offense for the Texans this year, just not as potent as it was last year. Chargers -3 on the road. Remember, you get the 3 for being at the crib, meaning that Vegas believes the Chargers are about a touchdown better than the Texans. And Lonzo, I am inclined to agree. Give me the Chargers on the road as the first wild card team to win in the wild card round. Sorry, super wild card round to win.
Here's the thing. I thought that the Chargers would be picked to win by more than that. I think the line is surprising to me.
The line at -3, and again, you get 3 Texans catching 3 points for being the home team. It's really more of like a 6, 6.5 line if it's neutral site, which I think is fair. I think a touchdown's fair.
I think the Chargers are that much better than the Texans. So I would have thought they would have been like a 14-point favorite.
14!
And a lot of people down on the Texans. I got to go with the Chargers.
Yep, so do I. I'm going with the Chargers.
I want the Texans to win, just because if they do, then a bunch of people on the Texans team will have to wear Ohio State jerseys the next day.
I did see that.
Hilarious.
What if we get a Harbaugh in Jim's first year back in the league in the dance? What if we get a Harbaugh Super Bowl Volume 2.0?
It very much could and probably will happen, I think.
I don't know if I'm ready to say the Chargers are running the table out of that side of the bracket, but we'll find out. The second wild card game on Saturday, the Steelers at the Ravens. This is your biggest line of the weekend. The Ravens favored by 9.5 points. They are at home, so Vegas feeling like they're about a touchdown better than the Steelers. Listen, I have been interested in the Steelers. I don't know what happened. They got to 10 wins. They got themselves their guaranteed winning season for Mike Tomlin, and the wheels have come off, including on the defensive side of the ball. This team has just fallen apart. I think the Ravens deconstruct the Steelers.
Yeah, there's unrest there, talking here and there. A lot of it has to do with entitled players. No one's pointing fingers, but we all know who it is.
Who is saying that?
Do you just like ignore those things, or they just don't pop up?
No,
on your
I genuinely
feed,
ask them the question. Who is saying that?
Okay, all right. I will look for articles in a moment for you. Pittsburgh hasn't won in a month. They're not going to win now.
I am not going to push back on that. I am not going to push back on that at all. I do think the Ravens, but again, I think this says as much about. I think this says as much about if not more about the Ravens than it does about the Pittsburgh Steelers. I do think the Steelers have fallen off. I am not pretending to say that they have not, but I do think that ultimately this is just the Ravens are good, dude. That's really all it is. The Ravens are good. of those two teams, the two wild card teams we have predicted to win, we are both on the Ravens, we are both on the Chargers. Which one of those two teams do you think is more Super Bowl equipped, knowing that the Ravens are obviously a divisional champ, a home team favorite? Do you think, because the Ravens are also a team that Kansas City's prepared for, whereas, I mean, they're more familiar with the Chargers, do you really think the Chargers are a team that can make a legitimate run out of that spot?
No. We already know who I think is going to go to the Super Bowl, but the Ravens definitely better equipped than the Chargers. And at least as far as players go, I believe the Ravens have more experience. Coaching wise, I mean, Harbaugh's been there a bunch.
Sure thing.
Too. So I don't know.
Sure thing. Not a doubt about that. I don't know, man. I heard Lamar say the other day that he's at the point now where he's like, we had jitters. Like, we've been a jittery team. We don't have those I don't know how many years in a row you can get away with, we've been a jittery team in the playoffs. Like, sometimes you just got to go, they got your number. I got a vibe this year is a different year for the Ravens.
He gets nervous. He absolutely gets nervous in the playoffs. You can see it. I mean, you can see it in his footwork. You can see where he's quicker to do things that he doesn't do during the regular season. He has said, and I've heard him say a couple times, that he needs to calm down. He's not talking about the team. He's saying he himself gets too excited.
Lamar strikes me as a guy that, like, he feels like it's on him to be, put the team on the back guy, put on the cape, put the underoos on the outside
Here's
of the pants
the
and be Superman. It,
when you get hype, it's hard to contain the hype. It's hard to say, this is my level of hype. I'm not going above this hype. If you're a person who gets hype, you get hype.
That's true, but you know what happens if you get hype? You stay hype. I'm hype. Rashad Beard's here. We're going to talk to him coming up in the next segment. Talk a little Carolina Panther football, because I can't help but believe that if you saw this year, you're not a little hype about next year. Let's put a wrap on the 2024 regular season. Take a look back at the season that was with Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast. That is coming up next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Wrapping up hour number three of the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob Lonzo, and now joining us as he does every Thursday at 8:40 on the clock, the host of the Panther Nation podcast. You can find them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, hit up Panther Nation podcast on the YouTube channel. Make sure you are subscribed and liked up to my guy, Rashad Beard, joining us here on the show. Football over for the Carolina Panthers. Bud, what are you doing Sunday?
Man, I don't know, man. I might turn on some playoff football. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. You know.
All right. So genuine question. When it ain't the Panthers, how much NFL do you follow? Like, away from Carolina, like, you a Super Bowl guy, you a conference championship guy. I'm watching every game I can get my eyeballs on. Where you fall on the map?
Yeah, I'm kind of midway. It depends on the game, depends on the teams. I mean, I like a good game. Sometimes I get a little upset, you know, because that's not my team, and I want my team to be in there. So, but I do keep my ears to the streets. I'm keeping my eye on things.
Lonzo asked you a question during the break. We got a clip, and I can't find it because my damn computer got reset, but a couple of years ago, I asked you if you were pulling for CMC after he became a 49er in a Super Bowl, and you said no, he didn't stay here. Certified hater mode engaged. Lonzo asked you during the break, I'm going to ask you on the air so you can talk to the people right now. You've got like a handful of Panthers that are active, former Panthers active in these playoffs. Are there any that you are pulling for, or is it just hater mode across the board?
No, I'm not pulling for any of them, man. It's hater mode is activated for playoffs. If there's a former Panther on your team, I'm not cheering for him. I'm cheering against them, to be quite honest. And listen, you know, there's a couple scenarios you got to talk through. Commanders, Bucks, you know, you got Baker Mayfield on the Bucks, former Panther. Then you got, you know, a bunch of Panthers on the Commanders. And so you gotta pick and choose, you know. And I just said that the hate for the Tampa Bay Bucks, the NFC South foe, is going to override the hate for the former Panthers. So this week I'm pulling for the Commanders to beat the Bucks, but after that, you know, I've got to cheer against the Commanders.
Can That's you put, how, Can you blame the quarterbacks, though? I mean,
No.
Can you blame Baker?
I don't blame him.
Okay.
No, I don't blame him one bit, but that does not change anything.
So you're not rooting for Minnesota either because Sam Darnold.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah, Minnesota's out. I'm going for the Lions. Go Lions. I think that's the only team I can really truly cheer for.
Listen, the definition of a hater is being a hater when there ain't no damn good reason to be a hater, yet you hate on anyway. My dogs, Baker and Sammy D, did nothing to you, Rashad, and you're still hating.
Hold on. You were a Swiftie last year. Why are you going away from that this year?
I'm rocking with them too. Yeah, that's okay.
All right.
Give me the Lions, give me the Chiefs, and that's a game I can watch in peace.
Hater.
Well, except for Harrison Butker, but he's a hater. Kicker, so I'll let that one go.
Hey, if you were at camp when Butker was there, like I was, and you probably were there, he was going wide right every single time. I sat on the hill and watched him kicking towards me, and it's like, oh, this guy is so bad. And then he went to the Chiefs, and he is what he is. He's a bunch of wide rights against.
Ah, you beat me! I was gonna make the joke. Yeah, you got me to it.
From the surgery, he has not been good.
Oh no, I was gonna make the joke that Harrison Butker going wide right is shocking to no one. And Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joining us here on the show. All right, let's do a little post-mortem about the 2024 season. Rashad Beard, as you wrap it up with the obviously the couple of losses there down the stretch, but you get the win over the Falcons. Lonzo said this earlier in the week. He said, look, he felt like the one thing that this team was missing this year that you could go, okay, we are trending upward, like definitive, put a period on the end of the sentence, we are trending upward, was closing out a close game, was showing that when it's gut check time, you weren't going to fold like a lawn chair. You were going to be able to go out there and get it done. You do that against Atlanta to a spot that you almost had. The Saints were up 3.5 quarters on the Buccaneers. You damn near straight up cost Atlanta a playoff spot. There was pressure on in that game, and the Panthers found a way to finish. I don't have a problem with that take. I mean, to me, the best way to end that season was to gut out a close win in a divisional game to show that you can do it. Because let's be real, you just got to get to 9 and you win this division, it feels like some years. That's about as good of an exclamation point on the 2024 season as I could have asked for, other than just blow them out.
Yeah, the Carolina Reaper returns, man. I love it, man. I love the way we close the season. You know, you stamped it, and you closed out the season on a high note, beating a division opponent, getting them out the playoffs, essentially. Thank you to the Tampa Bay Bucks for, you know, knocking the Falcons out. I'll take the Tampa Bay Bucks over the Falcons in the playoffs any day, even though Baker's a quarterback. See, there's stipulations to the hater mode. You know, it kind of works out. You know what I mean? So I think it was very well played, very tough game. We almost blew it, like you said, but we came back. We fought through it. A depleted defense, and we just still got it done. You know what I mean? Bryce Young is proven week in and week out, getting better and better and better, put the team on his back. The no-look fadeaway Steph Curry-like touchdown throw was amazing. And so I want to continue to see that, and let's see if this carries on into next season. But good energy. I feel great about the season. I feel really good the way things ended.
Just think about if he had thrown that touchdown and turned around and threw up the arms and the receiver dropped it.
Hey, look,
that would have been bad.
You know, it would have been really bad. You know what's funny? I would not have been surprised if that happened the way things have been going with our receivers. But you know, shout out to Tommy Trumbull who caught the football, and it was a great, amazing play.
Bro, that might be the most high-pressure catch that he didn't know how high pressure it was. I said on Twitter, I'm like, yo, whether he drops it or catches it, that ends up being the most iconic gif of the 2024 season. Because if he puts that ball on the turf, then BY becomes that Swaggy P gif from a few years ago where he turns to put up the 3 and it bobs out in the background. Like that would, but that's a moment that if BY comes back next year and he keeps that trend going, bro, that's like, that's an iconic moment for the Panthers and a franchise that, respectfully, hadn't had one of those in a minute.
Yeah, we needed that, man. We needed that. That is almost a Cam Newton-esque type moment where, you know, you have all the Cam Newton celebrations, and now Bryce has his moment. You know what I mean? And it, you know, Cam Newton even went on Instagram to say he seconds this. He endorses what the Bryce Young celebration, the turnaround, no look, you know, touchdown pass. You know, that's a signature move now. That's his thing. Put it on a T-shirt. You know what I mean? I love it. I feel good about it. And I love the confidence that Bryce is showing. I love that his personality is starting to come out. And it's all heading in the right direction for me.
Rashad Beard here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. If I asked you, Rashad, to give me like one adjective, one word to describe this season, to wrap this season up, now that we've kind of got a couple of days in the back pocket to look at and think about it, what would you go with?
Roller coaster. I would say, yeah, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster, up and down. But I'll take it. You know, we're on this point. We're going downhill now. Things are going great and not going great. Things are still, you know, yet to be determined on how things are going to turn into next season. But I love the way it closed. Just given the rough start with Bryce Young getting benched, we didn't know. We were having little discussions about trading him or is he the guy? And he comes back and turns it completely around. And so, you know, it's all good, man. Things are going great, and I love it. And sometimes you got to deal with this, with the ups and downs. And, yeah, it's just a roller coaster ride, up and down. But we're heading in the right direction.
I can't think of anything you've ever said that's made me laugh as hard as, things are going great. Well, not great, but.
I had to calm myself down a little bit. You know, I get a little excited. I had to take a step back because we still got some question marks.
Like, not to be abstract, because we got more stuff to talk about, Rashad, but I to me, that's as good as I think I felt as somebody. I'm not a Panthers fan, but, like, I like the team to do well because I get more money when they do. I'm a big fan of that. Like, as a Panthers supporter because I get paid for it, that to me is about the most excited you've been in a while. It's like the fact that you're at a spot where you got to say, I got to stop myself from getting excited, because it's been a minute since you felt that way.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever really seen me excited about with this, which is really
that's
unfortunate.
Fair. That's fair. I've only been here 5 years, Rashad.
Yeah, but we haven't been, you know, together that long. But listen, here's the thing. You know what I am most excited about, Rob? You want to know? I'm most excited about not being last and finishing last in the division. That's what I'm most excited about.
There it is.
Look, you're not last on a technicality, bro. Hey, all right, let's not pretend we didn't put a 47 spot on your head.
Hey, it is what it is. If you ain't first, you're last.
You're not first, Rashad. What are you talking about? That's the worst thing.
I'm above you. That's all I can say.
Okay. All right. We got Henry that just checked in, and it's a fair question. We were going to do kind of overall postmortem, but we did have some changes yesterday. Secondary coach Burt Watts, outside linebacker coach Tom Lacaba, quality control coach Bobby Mafia all let go yesterday. You know, when you start making changes at the position coach level, Rashad, that to me is dialing in, right? Like, and obviously we're going with the silver lining, you know, optimistic view here. You're keeping Ejiro, which I'm not set upset about. That man had to deal with an injury bug that was only outpaced by Detroit and theirs this year, and I thought he did an admirable job. When you start making position coach changes but not the coordinator as a whole, I like to think that that's really dialing in, as opposed to, like, we got to sweep everything clean and start this over. From an optimistic standpoint, Rashad, the fact that you're going position coach changes feels like a good thing to me.
Yeah, I think so. And again, the Panther Nation, I'll speak for Panther Nation, they're on defense with Ivaro, right? You had a historically bad defense. You gave up the most points in NFL history, right? It's not good. And so Panthers fans kind of wanted to see a change. But at the same time, you got to love Canales and Dan Morgan's steady approach here. You don't want to make any rash decisions. You know that you dealt with injuries, Derrick Brown being injured, Shaq Thompson being injured, and a slew of other injuries. You didn't have the talent that you basically ended the season with a lot of undrafted guys. And I think what I said on my show on Tuesday was you basically chalked this season up to development of your depth, right? Guys like Damani Richardson, guys like Michael Jackson, guys like Trevin Wallace all had great seasons, considering the circumstances, right? You know, it wasn't good, but for them, it was a really good individual development season for those guys. So what you want to see is those guys come back, and maybe you can find other talent to improve upon those guys, but individually, those guys have improved, right? And that's what you want. You want to start building that depth. And that's what's important. So you take a look at it and you say, all right, let's switch out some of these position coaches and let's, like you said, dial in and let's not make any rash decisions. Let's take a look at the scheme. Let's tweak some things here and there and let's get this thing back on track. they believe and endorse Ivero's scheme and his talent and his coaching ability. And we'll only time will tell whether that's the right decision.
Leonard said in the chat, if you're not last, you're third.
What, exactly.
Get the T-shirts made. Look at Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast here for another minute or two. When you look back at 2024, we were talking about the South Carolina Gamecocks earlier, and I said, I think that this is a year, 2-3 years from now, if the Gamecocks are competing for an SEC title game, they're going to look back and go, 2024-25 was the year that we kind of turned that corner and started the trajectory upward that got us here. Do you feel like where we are right now, and obviously we're not even at spring practices yet, do you feel like this year may be a year that in a couple from now, not optimistically, realistically, that Carolina Panther fans look back and go, that was when Dave Canales found the stride. That's when BY became a dog. This is the year the Carolina Panthers made their way back into the NFC title picture.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I feel good. I feel good about that. I do feel like we're heading in the right direction. I do believe Canales is the guy. I mean, he's done great jobs. He's done wonders with Bryce Young, obviously, in one season. And I think you can look back exactly right. Look back at this period and be like, hey, man, this was it. This is when we turn it around. And I'm confident they got to work on the defense, right? But I think the offense is taking stride, putting up 44. Man, I don't know when the last time that's happened for the Carolina Panthers. So I think we're heading in the right direction. I think looking at Michael Penix and Bryce Young, I think that's a rivalry that you could see heading on to the future. Like, oh, this is it. This is really it. And I'm excited for sure. 1,000%.
Bryce Young, Michael Penix Jr., Spencer Rattler. That's the future, baby. We're locked
well,
in.
Yeah. I don't know how you threw him in that one, but yeah.
If you're not fourth, you're third, baby. That's how we roll. Rashad Beard hosts the Panther Nation podcast. You can follow them on X at Panther Nation PC. Check them out on YouTube. Make sure you're liked up and subscribed up there as well. My guy, we made it through 2024. Next week, we go ahead and turn the page, start looking at draft.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're excited for the draft, excited for free agency. Got to get that first, right? A nice amount of cap space for the Carolina Panthers to make some moves. Dan Morgan's already talking about finding some talent to help that defense and to help Bryce Young potentially getting a wide receiver maybe. Garrett Wilson trade, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Cap space must be nice. Why am I friends with you, bro? Why am I friends? I don't understand.
I don't know.
Talk to you next week.
Wow, way to make it awkward.
Did you hear that laugh? That laugh was personal.
Yeah, okay.
That laugh came from deep. Yeah. That was a laugh from the damn chest is what that was.
It was deserved, too. And right. You know, I mean, deal with it.
Rob, I'll see you in the bank next year. Let's have a good time. Mm-hmm. More bourbon, right?
Spencer Rattler's coming for your ass. That's what's happening, Rashad Beard.
We'll see. Ooh,
Rashad Beard every Thursday at 8:40. We'll talk to you next week, fella. Appreciate it.
I got to see you next
later
week.
On. We got Hatin' Ass Mario Heron from the BetQL Network coming up next. Fight Club talking wrestling at 9:20. All of that after Lonzo hit you with the sports flash.
It's already been fighting up in here. I mean, calm down.
That laugh hurt my feelings.
The fifth-ranked Alabama basketball team knocked off South Carolina last night in Columbia, 88-68. Jacoby Wright led the Gamecocks with 20 points, but South Carolina had only 4 points off the bench while shooting just 3 of 14 from the three. That's not good. That's not good at all. The Gamecocks dropped to 10-5 and 0-2 in conference play. As wildfires continue to rage across southern Los Angeles and southern California, the NFL says it's monitoring the situation and can move the wild card matchup between the Vikings and Rams to Arizona if necessary. If the move is made, the game would be played as part of a doubleheader on Monday night. The Rams said no players or staff have been impacted by the wildfires so far. Tune in this Saturday, 11:30, as the Furman Paladins take on the Wofford Terriers. It's Furman versus Wofford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, the Fan, Upstate.